After a decade or so of using email in the workplace, people should know better. Email may seem like a fleeting communication, but it leaves a permanent record that can come back to haunt the sender. The latest figure to learn this lesson the hard way is Harry Stonecipher, Boeing's former CEO. NPR's Frank Langfitt reports.
What was he thinking? That was the question some people were asking after Harry Stonecipher got caught writing graphic emails to his girlfriend, a fellow Boeing executive. Boeing said Stonecipher showed bad judgment and could no longer lead the company. The indiscretion also cost him his marriage. Nancy Flynn heads the ePolicy Institute, which advises firms on how to handle company email. She says the former aerospace executive made a classic error.
Mr. Stonecipher is not the first email user to apparently mistakenly assume that an email message sent to a specific individual would not be read by anyone but that individual.
One of the most striking things about Stonecipher's mistake is that it's still so common. According to a survey last year, one in four firms have fired someone for violating company email policy. Sarah Kiesler is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, where she studies people and technology. She says people continue to write things in email that they shouldn't because it's so informal. And there aren't daily reminders of the dangers. She likens dashing off an email to driving down a road where the stop signs have been removed.
The main issue is that people are writing conversation, and they're communicating by text, and there are no social context cues that are reminding them that other people probably can be or could be looking at these messages.
How Stonecipher got caught is a bit of a mystery. Boeing says an anonymous source forwarded his messages, but there are lots of ways to get nailed for email. Concerned about sexual harassment, many companies have installed software which can capture messages with inappropriate language. Using keywords, say slang, for certain body parts, companies can monitor employees' messages for sexual content. Paris Trudeau works for Surf Control, a California firm which makes filtering software. She explained how it works.
Typically what happens to an email is it gets isolated, and that's kind of what I typically refer to as mail jail. And that location is where either the HR manager can remotely, from his or her desk, look at the message, or the administrator of the product solution himself can take a look at the message and make sure that it's approved to continue on.
In other cases, people get caught because a passerby spots a message on their screen. That's what happened last month to some police officers in Austin, Texas. Responding to a fire at a largely African-American nightclub, several cops traded offensive personal messages on the computer terminals in their patrol cars. One read, "Burn, baby, burn." Their attorney, Tom Stribling, explains what happened next.
They were parked for a period of time and out of their units. And one message that was sent that was personal in nature was left displayed on the screen. A passerby happened to observe the message, found the message to be offensive in nature, and called for a news camera, which just happened to be on the scene recording and reporting the fire.
Even after email disappears from a screen, copies live on. Nancy Flynn of the ePolicy Institute.
There's no such thing as 100% deletion. You can hit the delete key and think your message is gone, but in fact, if there were a lawsuit or a regulatory investigation and a computer forensic team were to come into the company, they can piece together old emails.
Travis Davis didn't know this. He and several other employees lost their job 2 years ago at a corn processing plant in Indiana. They got caught emailing pornographic pictures. Davis had deleted the messages, but the company restored the computer files.
I can email you and I can work on my Outlook and what I need to do, but as far as the insides and how they can track that, I'm not real sure how that works, so I had no idea that that could have been done.
After he was fired, Davis had to tell his family why he lost his job.
It's kind of embarrassing, like telling my mom and telling my aunts and telling my mother-in-law now, but at the time, my girlfriend's mother, basically, they were kind of like, "Travis, you should be ashamed of yourself," looking at stuff like that.
Davis got back his job at arbitration, but he says he learned his lesson. Never send personal email on the company system.
And I'm just scared that if it was ever to come up again, that something strange would happen or something really odd would happen, so I don't even risk it. I don't even bother getting on it now.
While some people risk their jobs over what they write in emails, others jeopardize their freedom. In criminal cases, prosecutors routinely mine servers for incriminating messages. Among those who have been convicted by their own email are former investment banker Frank Quattrone. The evidence? A message he sent encouraging staff to clean up files before a federal investigation. Those two words helped earn Quattrone an 18-month sentence for obstructing justice. Orrin Kerr teaches about computer crime at George Washington University Law School. He says electronic messages are a powerful weapon in fighting white-collar crime.
Email is becoming a major source of evidence for criminal prosecutors. One of the greatest challenges any prosecutor faces is showing what we call mens rea in the criminal law, which means a guilty mind, showing intent. Did somebody intend to do that? Were they intending to defraud, for example, when they entered into a business transaction that later went sour? Email can prove that.
Kerr says some workers are more careful now about what they write in email. People are more apt to take sensitive conversations offline. But other scholars say that as long as email remains a fast and easy way to communicate, people will keep getting themselves in trouble. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.